My name is Alan Morris, and we are talking today again in 1 Timothy. So we're going to be talking about in 1 Timothy, and we're in chapter 4, and we're going to be starting in verse 9. So get your Bibles out, get your books, your papers out, and get your and be ready to start learning the Word of God verse by verse through Timothy. We're in our fifth lesson. In 1 Timothy, and we're in chapter 4 and verse 9. This is the fifth lesson. So let us get started. It says, we're in chapter 4, 1 Timothy, chapter 4, verses 9. It says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectations. For therefore we both labor and we suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. See, we have to understand, when we get involved in the words of God, we're fighting Satan. I mean, he doesn't want it, and he's going to cause a tribulation to everybody that are true believers. It's going to happen. It's happened in my life, and I've had more tribulation in my life, I think, probably, in these last 6 months than I've had in my whole life, because I'm really am battling Satan. He does not want the gospel to be preached. He wants it just like it is, because people aren't saved by believing in Jesus or taking Jesus as your Savior, and that's all what the church has preached today. Salvation is based only on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's tremendously important, and we will suffer tribulation because of it. But God is stronger, and God will get us through it. And we, sometimes I don't know how we're going to make it, but we will do it. And it's hard. And pray for us, because he's battling me tremendously. Tremendously. And he will battle you also, but that's okay. We have God living in us. It doesn't make any difference what they do with us, especially. He can't hurt me. You know, no matter what happens, if he takes me home, I'm home. But I'm going to be with the Lord. But I'm going to continue to teach this word until God takes me home. And Paul was had tremendous reproach. They were after him. He had went through tremendous persecution. We know for a fact, if you look in a second, we won't turn there, but think about this. Remember, I've told you about it before in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, about 24 or 25, somewhere in that vicinity. Paul tells him, he says, I have five times he was beaten with a cat of nine tails. That's horrible. That's 39 times. Jesus was beaten with a cat of nine tails. That cut him in half. Paul was done five times, see. Five separate times, and then they threw him in a stinking prison, in a jail, a cesspool. What kept him from getting blood poisoning and dying from that horrible beatings? And only God could have done it. And what did he do? God got him out of those dungeons, and what did he do? He preached the gospel. Three times he was beaten with rods. Three times. Rods were just almost as bad. When they hit you with rods, it knocked the wind out of you. And before you get another breath, they hit you again. They broke ribs. They broke vertebrae. Many people never walked ever, and some died. Three times he went through that. He was stoned. And the Jews don't stone you alive. They stone you to death. They killed Paul. There's no doubt. They drug him out of town like a dead horse. When they stone you, they break every bone in your body. But Christ raised him up to do what? To preach the gospel. The same thing that I'm doing. Preaching the gospel. That's all he did, was preach the gospel. He was shipwrecked. You see, he was thrown in prison. He suffered constantly of hunger and thirst. And he was in perils constantly. And he spent tremendous amount of time in prison. And the only way they could shut Paul up from preaching the gospel, they cut his head off. And that's what they're going to have to do to me. They're going to have to cut my head off, because I'm going to preach it until God takes me home. And that's what Paul did. And that's what he said. He labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, see, especially those who also those that believe. Believe what? It's always the gospel, Paul is. You see, that's all he preached, see. But he's writing these letters to Timothy, who already knows the gospel. He knows everything about it. He's grounded in the gospel. When he says believe, Timothy has no question in his mind that he's not talking about the gospel, see. And if you look at Colossians chapter 1:23, we're not going to turn it for time's sake. But when you start studying this scripture, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. These things command thee and teach. Let no man despise, verses 12, let no man despise thy youth. But be thou an example of the believers in word and in conversation and in love and in spirit, in faith and purity. What is that? What is all these that he's involved in? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. There's no way that you can have love unless you have the Holy Spirit. We don't even know what love is like until you have the Holy Spirit. You cannot deal anything in faith unless you have faith in the gospel. And you can't do anything without the Holy Spirit. And you cannot be pure in whatsoever until God comes in and lives in your life. And the things that weren't pure, He will take it out of your life. You won't want anything to do with impure thoughts, impure things, impure anything. You don't want to do it. And when you don't want to do it, you won't do it. Because you have Christ living in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what Paul said. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And because till I come, give audience to reading an exhortation to doctrine. What's the doctrine? Only doctrine he preached. The gospel. Because it's the only thing that can save you. It's the only thing that can save you now, and the only thing that way that you can get to heaven for eternity is doctrine. Teaching the gospel. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. What is he talking about there? You see, Timothy we're all given gifts. You know, and God is the one that utilized these gifts, you see. You see, I have the gift of teaching, but it isn't me teaching. It's God speaking through me because I'm telling you the Word of God, see. I'm teaching the way God wants it to be taught. I'm teaching the gospel, see. And when I'm teaching the gospel, it's God speaking through me, you see. Well, he had a gift, and he very likely was a teacher also, and he also was a pastor also. But he had one thing that was tremendous for him. He was able to find people that had a same belief that he did, that believed the gospel and that were filled with the Holy Spirit, and he knew that they were competent and able, apt to teach, and so he was able to find these people and put these people as pastors, and he laid his hands on them and gave them this Holy Spirit through him, kind of just pointed them out to be pastors. See? That's what he meant by that. Anointing these pastors. And that's what he did. He put pastors that he put all throughout the known kingdom. Timothy was doing this. And Paul was tremendously proud of him. Meditate on these things. Give thyself, verse 15, wholly to them. That thy profiting may appear to all, you see. Because he was anointing these ministers, because of what they were doing, everybody knew that Timothy was involved in getting these people, and in doing so, it glorified not only him, but because God was living in him, it glorified God also. He said, take heed unto thyself, unto the doctrine, to the gospel, continue in them. For it is doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You see, the doctrine, the gospel, what can save you? There's only one thing that can save you. It's the gospel, see. Not only save yourself, but you know, save all of those that hear you. And this is what I'm trying to do. This gospel saved me. And I hope it saves everybody that hears me. You see. Everybody that hears this gospel. This is Christ speaking through me. You see, people think that sounds funny. How could a man say that? You see, Jesus talked to Philip, and it was in John chapter 14. Philip asked him, John, show us the Father, he said. Show us the Father, that suffices us. And Jesus looked at him and said, don't you understand, Philip? This is just off of my head. I don't have it exactly. But he said, don't you understand, Philip, that when you see me, you see the Father? Don't you understand that the Father is me and I'm in the Father? Don't you understand that the words that I speak aren't words that I speak? There's this Father speaking through me. And he doeth the works. Well, see, that's the same with anybody that believes the gospel. God will work and talk through you. And he does the works. We do nothing. All we do is God does the works. You see, he's working, Paul says it, he's working mightily in me. And he's working mightily in me, Al Morse, because he's speaking through me. What you're hearing today when I'm speaking the word of God, it's Christ speaking to you because Christ lives in me and he'll live in you also when you believe the gospel. Praise the Lord. Think about that. You don't hear that in the churches, but it's the truth. It's the truth. This is what God has for his people. He wants to work in your life and live with you and speak through you and do the works for you. He's the one that's doing to do it. He will get the glory and we'll get the rewards in eternity. Think about that. He'll get the words. He gets the glory, but we'll get the rewards in eternity. This, you know, it's just fantastic what God has in this word. And we just got to understand it and believe it and obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Tremendously important. Chapter 5. We're in 1 Timothy, and we're in chapter 5 now. He says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. What is he talking about? Now, he's talking about believers, see. When he talks about an elder, he's talking a man that is filled with the Holy Spirit, you see. It said, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, see. And the younger men as brethren, and the elder women as mothers, and the younger as sisters with all purity. These people are believers. They truly believe the gospel, and they are filled with the Holy Spirit. And we treat each and every one of them in awe. And we treat them with respect. And we treat them with love. You see, that's what the body of Christ is. Every one of us are different. We all have different gifts that God gives to us and that works through us. But it's always God's working. It's not our working, see. If we had a church that we could call the body of Christ and we could meet together, and they made me a teacher, but they made you a janitor. You had to clean out the pots and in the bathrooms, you know, and scrub the floors. It isn't you scrubbing the floors. It's God scrubbing the floors and cleaning the pots. And it's more just as important as the teacher that's teaching. We're all, it's everything that we do is God working through us and to his glory. And nobody is above anybody else in heaven. We all are looking to the same thing, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, because what he did, he paid for our sins and made us righteous, because that only way we can make it to heaven. See, how wonderful, how wonderful. He says, honor the widows that are widows indeed. He's talking about, now we're talking about the church. This is the function of the body of Christ. And the body of Christ took care of their own. It didn't say that they went out throughout the world and took care of the needy in the world. They were talking about the church, the body of Christ. It says, the elder women as mothers and younger sisters with all purity, number 3, verse 3, honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show pity at the home and be requite their parents. In other words, help their parents, for that is a good and acceptable before God. In other words, if you have people that are having problems in your own home, that are in poverty, that need help, you see, it's up to the family to take care of it, see. Now, the church is going to take care of those that have nobody, you see. But if you have family and they need help, you should be there, you see. We should be there to help them, see. And we should help them. Let's say that your mother and dad are elderly, and one of them dies, and you should be there to help the other person, your other dad or your mother. Help them, wherever it takes. You're their sons, you're their cousins, their nephews, they're your kin. But you're all in Christ. See, you all believe the gospel, and you're going to help them. Verse 5, it says, "Now she that is a widow indeed, and desolate, and trusted in God," and in other words, her husband died, "and continueth in supplication and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she is liveth. And these things give in change, that they may be blameless," you see. "But if any provide not for his own," see, and especially for those who of his own house, "he is denied the faith and is worse than an infidel," you see. That's why it's important to take care of your family. If you don't, you're worse than an infidel. You see, that means unbeliever almost. Paul was very strict on that. We take care of our own. And if we don't, we're worse than an infidel. And that's why it's tremendously important. You know, and truth about it is that children shouldn't have to take care of the family, the fathers and mothers. The mothers and fathers should be passing down to their children. But there are times when it has to be that way. When they are needed, when their father dies and the mother is left alone, she needs help from her children. And if we're not there to do that, to help our children, we're worse than infidels. He said, "Let not a widow be taken," verse 9, "let not a widow taken into the number under threescore years old, having been the wife of one man." A widow. A widow is when she lost her husband. And that back then, if you lost your husband, you had no support whatsoever. But if they were 60 years old, he said, they could be taken into them, to the church. The church, the people in the church would take care of them. They would get together and take care of this woman that had lost her husband. "Well reported of for good works, if she had brought up children, if she had lodged the strangers, if she had washed the saints' feet, if she had relieved the afflicted, if she had diligently followed every good work." How can she do that? How could she do that? Only by belonging to the body of Christ, being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, we don't have that capability to do all these things. Because the reason why, she didn't have to do any of them. God was working through her. And when God's working through you, he's going to take care of you too. "But the younger widows refuse, for they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, and they will marry." Let the younger widows marry. Go ahead and marry. "Having damnation because they cast off their first faith." And it says, "And withal, they've learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not to." You see, he's not dealing with those people. He's dealing with those that are filled with the Holy Spirit, and that they are truly in need, and then their church is going to take care of them. He says, "I will therefore that the younger women marry and bear children and guide the house and give none occasion to the adversary," see, "to speak reproachfully." Who's the adversary? Satan. Satan, you see. We don't want to give any chance that allows Satan to get into our lives, see. for some have already turned aside after Satan. It happens, and it's just too bad. How does that happen? They do not cling to the gospel. You see, that's the only way we're saved, is to keep in memory of the gospel. Never depart from the gospel. Because that you depart from the gospel, you know, you're lost. That's all there is to it. As long as you believe the gospel, you cannot lose your salvation. But you can depart from it. And if you do, you know, you'll be lost. There's no doubt about that. But the thing of it is, you never were saved in the first place. You see, God doesn't make any mistakes. There's people up there think, well, yeah, I believe the gospel. But unless you truly believe it, God will never seal you with the Holy Spirit. And He knows your future. He knows your mind. He knows everything about you. And you will never, He doesn't make a mistake. So somebody goes down the road and said, well, she was in the church. And then she left the gospel. Well, she never knew it in the first place. Or she wouldn't have left it, see. She didn't truly believe it in the first place, or she wouldn't have left it, see. It says, if any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged. In other words, you take care of your own, so the church isn't charged, see. That it may relieve them, but relieve them that are widows indeed, see. So we want to take care of our own, and if we can't do it, the church will jump right in and help, because they want to help, because God will lead them to do so. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and in the doctrine. What doctrine? The gospel, you see. When they labor, they are counted worthy of double honor when they labor in the word and the doctrine or the gospel. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out of the corn, and the labor is worthy of his reward. Against an elder receive not an accusation. This is a person who is filled with the Holy Spirit, but before two or three witnesses. You've really got to prove that he made a mistake. And I'm not saying that can't happen. Sure, it can happen. We don't lose our ability to sin when we believe the gospel. We just don't want to. But you see, that's what the grace of God is all about. He's paid for the sin. Sin isn't the problem. God has already taken care of it. He just wants to get us back on the road so that He can work in our lives. See, it says, then them that sin rebuke them all, that others also may fear. You see, if we find somebody that has made a sin in the body of Christ, we rebuke them. So, and follow all of them so that they realize how serious this is. Because we don't want to have reproach come upon the church, see. We don't want reproach. And we can sin. There's no doubt about we can. But we don't want to. And if you don't want to do something, you're not going to do it. It's not going to be the last thing you ever think about. You don't want to do it. And no matter what you're at, God takes you and you can be the worst sinner in the world. But He'll clean you up. He'll clean you up and He'll draw you closer to Him each and every day. Verse 21, I charge you before God. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ that the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preference one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partakers of other man's sin. Keep thyself pure. You see, keep thyself pure. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake. You see, he had problems with sicknesses, and obviously he did. Satan would do everything he could do to slow Timothy down. You know, and that's what he done to me. I'm living in sickness, but it didn't make any difference. I'm going to continue till God takes me home. See. But he told him, drink a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thy often infirmities. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise, also the good works of some are manifested beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hidden. See, our good works cannot be hidden. You see, but also our bad works will follow us no matter what. But our good works will not be hidden. And that's what Paul was telling Timothy, and Timothy was a tremendously good worker for Christ. Tremendously good worker for Christ. Now we're going to start with chapter 6. Chapter 6, 1 Timothy, chapter 6, verse 1. It says, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed." And at that time, there were people who were living under servitude. It was a common thing. But he wanted those servants to truly be good people to their masters, because they represented the body of Christ, see. And he represented the doctrine of the gospel. And they wanted him to be worthy. And doing so, the gospel would not be blasphemed, see. You see, we can look at that in our state, when we work for somebody in our lifetime, that we work for that man, and no matter what he thought or what it was, we did the best we could for that person. You know, we worked hard because we knew that we weren't working for him. We were truly working for God, and that was the most important thing. And in doing so, there would be no way that the gospel could be blasphemed. See, there's no way it could be, because they were seeing things in you that they didn't see elsewhere. You were a good worker, and you cared. No matter what it was, you truly, truly cared. We're going to have to stop now, and we'll start again in chapter 6. But let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time to teach your word. Watch over each and every person that is listening, and draw them closer to you each day. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.